even though there's a new component to it today, I still think that it's important to do it together. So she'll be reading for me, and she's also can be speaking. So if you feel comfortable coming up, then come up and stand by me, or that'd be great. Let me get settled here. Thank you, John. I get by with a little help from my friends. I gave an introduction before. I'll do that again, but we want to be really good with time because we'd like to get this to you in the appropriate amount of time. The key scripture comes from Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. And while she's getting ready, I'll read that. Most of the time, she'll read the scriptures. The Lord said in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, this is Yeshua speaking, "But I tell you that on the day of judgment, men will give an account for every careless word." In the King James Version, says every idle word, which is actually a really good description as well. Every careless word they speak. Verse 37. "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." I'm not sure that we ever understand that. But we were created in the image and likeness of Adonai. How did things come to be? It's written for us. It came because he spoke. Everything came about because he spoke from the beginning. The word of God spoke. And there was the first day and the second day and the third day and the fourth day. He spoke. Of course, we understand that the utterance of God, the word of God made flesh, is Yeshua. So he's right from the beginning, right at the beginning of verse 2 of the scripture, it starts talking about Yeshua. So why would you ever throw it away? Why would you ever not use the Hebrew scriptures? You need to use the Hebrew scriptures because they give you context. You and I are made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we have the power to create with our words. And we can either create good things or create bad things. I mean, the Lord created with his word. He created the world. He created the enemy. Look, those are created beings. He created them. They rebel, but he created them. So ultimately, we have that power too. We are like gods, the scripture says, in that we can speak blessing and life. That's in Deuteronomy in many, many places in scripture. Or we can speak cursings or death. The worst part of it all is that we tend to be, as people, we tend to say what amounts to, in the hearing of Adonai, curses to our own self. How many times have you said, "Oh, I'm so stupid"? Stop it. No, you're not. If you say, "I'm so stupid," you're letting the enemy, you declared it, so now he can take advantage of it. "I'm so clumsy." No, you're not. Don't declare such things. The power of life and death is in the tongue. I could preach on the tongue. We're not preaching. We are, but we're not. I have this one. Okay, let's start. My attitude is up to me. It's in the email. My attitude is up to me, nobody else. No one else has that ability except us. Excuse me a second while I get this. It's in the wrong place, so. So this is the truth. My attitude, M-I-M-Y, is mine. I have an attitude. It turns out that our attitude can have more influence than our past, our education, money, circumstances, appearance, skills, failures, successes, or how others treat us. My attitude can do that. In this time of history, and we're in a time of history where the Lord wants to do great things, and we're being positioned to do those great things. Maybe you don't believe it. It's my job to preach it, because it is. In this time in history, the borders of our comfort zones are going to be assaulted by the unexpected. Our hearts may be stripped and shaven by disappointment, failure, unmet expectations, illness, frustration, and broken relationships. However, we don't have to allow these things to dictate our response. We don't have to do that. Okay? As I was meditating, this is the thought that came coming over and over again. We the people, so I entitled the message, We the People. We the people of Adonai are pulling a freight train of baggage cars. Let me say that again, because that is a truth. You didn't arrive yesterday, you know. And even some teenagers here are already pulling baggage cars. How much more some of the rest of us? We have allowed a lot of these cars to remain in our train even when we've been given opportunity to get rid of them altogether. We've done that. So what happens is we tend to want to assign responsibility for faults or wrongs to leaders or anybody else and pass the buck, so to speak. When reality, this belongs to we the people. As I was thinking about this, it's like we just, something comes up and we start going from baggage car to baggage car to baggage car all the way to the caboose. And then come back to the front of the train, remembering something from that last car and the next to the last car and the next to the last car. And by the time we get to the engine again, we're loaded with things from the past. And stuff, baggage, not great stuff, baggage. And then we respond from that kind of mindset. I want to say that even in our congregation, there's an inclination to blame others. And especially leaders. And again, the Lord deals with me with music, as you know. You've known me a long time. So here's the phrase of when things go wrong and seem to be bad. That's what we do. When things go wrong and seem to be bad. Some of you recall, maybe some of you know, that that's from the song Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. Okay? Please don't let me be misunderstood. And it's a 1964 song. It was originally recorded by Nina Simone, not by the Animals. Now, what this phenomenon that we go back to the baggage cars would be eased if we don't drag as many baggage cars, right? In fact, if we don't have any baggage cars, then we go from the engine to the caboose. There's no baggage to deal with. There's no things to think about. I want you to keep in the back of your mind, does the Lord want us to get rid of the baggage? This phenomenon ultimately results in our engaging in something that is talked about in today's parashat. And it's the words murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. Whenever we murmur and complain, there's going to be associated curses. I don't know any way to tell you other than this is a biblical statement, biblical. I'm quoting you from the Bible, and we're going to prove it. This is a problem that New Testament, New Covenant congregations have had. The Apostle Paul admonished the Philippians. By the way, the Philippians is a really good chapter, isn't it? It's like a real positive chapter, full of good things. Like, you know, fulfill me my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's in Philippians chapter 2. I mean, it's loaded with stuff. It's one of those great chapters, like, it's kind of uplifting. Did you know that the reason Paul wrote to the Philippians is because and admonished them is because they demonstrated a tendency towards disunity. And that's in Philippians 1:27, 4, 2, and 3. We're not going to read it. That's background for you. But instead of fighting one another, the Apostle Paul encouraged them to show forth and reflect an attitude that's rooted in their relationship with Messiah. Here's what Paul had to say.
If there be therefore any consolation in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind.
I know a song to that. Fulfill me, ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, is the King James Version of that. But it preceded by if. This if. That's a construction. If you actually went into the Greek and studied a little bit of Greek literature and the Greek language and so on, this is a construction. This is a construction of ifs, okay? Which means that since we have those things, ultimately this if saying, if this is what you have, if this is what you have, if this is what you have, in other words, Since we have those things, therefore, we can fulfill his joy. Since we have what we need, we can exercise a godly attitude towards one another. And towards ourselves and towards Adonai. If our minds are guided by the word of Adonai, we can always respond in a godly attitude. That's by way of introduction. So it turns out, in this parashat called Shelach, which means an he sent, we're going to hear the consequences to we the people. Look, the leaders that messed up are already judged. They died before Adonai. He took care of the leaders that messed up. After the Lord cleaned house, so to speak, and the people see that that's what he did, that they die before Adonai, what should the response be? What do you think? What do you think the response should have been? Some would say, well, you know, we should applaud that. He takes care of the leaders, by the way. You don't have to worry about the leaders ever getting away with anything. The Bible says, don't you want to be a teacher? Because you will receive a greater judgment. That's who I am. That scripture speaking to me all the time. And anybody else that stands in this pulpit, whether it's myself or John or Sam or anybody else, do you really want to have a greater judgment? Do you want to have to be under the pressure that everything you do and say is critical? If we mess up, or when we mess up, because there's no ifs here, when we mess up, the Lord takes care of it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to talk about it. You know, this is a non-issue to you. As we the people, I'm including myself in we the people. We don't have to deal. He already dealt with it. But in this parashat, we see the consequences, the consequence of murmuring and complaining. This writing comes from, I'm quoting Mrs. Arroyo. I'm quoting Rebbetzin. Rebbetzin said in a message from some years ago that complaining opens the door to a root of bitterness. When our words curse versus blessing, because it's either the choice. You're either going to curse or you're going to bless. Read Deuteronomy 28. Read Deuteronomy 29, etc. They bring death and not life. In fact, the scripture near the end of the Torah says, choose life. Don't choose cursing and death. Choose life. We have this other problem called negative expectations, part of the baggage. We went to the end of the train and found all this cars from, you know, from 50 years ago, from 35 years ago, from so on. And we go through all of this baggage coming back to the front, to the current situation. And in that, we pick up like, oh, well, gee, I didn't remember this person did this to me. Doesn't look to me like God's done anything, so now I'm going to take matters into my own heart. Matters into my own heart. I meant it. Not in my own hands, in my own heart. It's our heart that gets in trouble. It's our heart that gets in trouble. So one of the things that we have is in all of this baggage that we're pulling all this baggage. It's a big train. Therefore, we think that, oh, that's what it is. That's what it's going to be in the future. It's going to be just like this. I'm going to pick up some more of these baggage cars. I want to tell you that's baloney, baloney, bologna. We really have been set free. Paul said that we're set free from the flesh and what it brings. And that's what the flesh wants to do, focus on the negative. Focus on what happened to me. Oh, this is happening. If she did this to me before, she's going to do it again. This time I'm going to beat her at it. Her, him, kids, whatever. And we get in trouble. When our words curse, they bring death, not life. Negative expectations bind us. They bind our spouses, they bind our children, and they bind Adonai. Let me quote her messages. You can go look at them if you like. From Marilyn's message called Without Murmuring or Complaining, 21 June of 08. And then she just preached it 2 years ago again, and the Holy Spirit changed the name. So murmuring or complaining, she wanted to change it to victory and reigning. So we left the both the old title and the new title. I mean, that was my suggestion for her. She could do whatever she wanted to. But she went ahead and accepted my suggestion. And so the message is called Murmuring or Complaining or Victory and Reigning, 5 June 2021. Here's some of the things she had to say. But she's here, so why don't you say it?
Publicly, I or we honor and respect our authorities, our spouses, our boss, our parents, congregational leaders, governmental leaders, any positional authorities we're talking about here. But he, the Lord, sees my heart and your heart. He sees my heart when I complain and murmur about disappointments because of maybe some desires I have or cravings that I have. Most of the time, these wonderful biblical expectations that I have, that I want in my time and in my way, not necessarily God's, in secret, God sees these things in my heart. I may not declare them in a public way towards someone, but in my heart, I do before the Lord. Number two, complaining opens the door to a root of bitterness. Then our words curse instead of blessing, and bring death instead of life. Good expectations become negative. And this is what I was just saying, they can bind people, those good expectations, because we're holding them to a standard that of according to something that we understand in Scripture or what we want from Scripture or just in general, and we hold someone to our expectation instead of allowing God to hold them in his expectation. And it really does bind them, it binds us, and so when demanded in our timing, it fixes us in a rut. For example, a wilderness journey, just like the children of Israel. You stay in that, it comes around again and again and again and again. Sometimes you get out of that thinking and you go, okay, I'm good. But then it comes again, and you enter into, or we enter into that, those expectations, and we just can't seem to get out of that wilderness. Number three, complaining brings Adonai's judgment. He considers it evil, sin, wickedness, and rebellion. Israel could have had their desires in 11 days, Deuteronomy 1 and 2. Instead, they brought Adonai's judgment. Everything that they wanted and needed, their provisions, the security for the family, they were fearful for the family. They were fearful what was going to happen to their wives, their children. All of that was in Canaan in great abundance. But fear, in all capital letters, who is the number one false prophet, stole their future. Why? Because of Matthew 12, 37.
You want to do that? For by your mouth you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now let's go into this scripture. Let's go into today's parasha. Okay? We're going to pick out some from Numbers chapter 14. If you want to follow along, you're welcome to. So let me review some key verses in Numbers chapter 14. In verse 2, the first thing that happens is all Israel grumbled and deplored their situation, accusing Moses and Aaron.
Scripture says, all B'nai Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole community said, if only we had died in Egypt. If only we had died in this wilderness.
Watch it, okay? What did it say? If only we had died in Egypt, but they didn't. But now, if only we had died in this wilderness. They're saying, that we select that. We think that'd be good.
In verse
3 and 4, Israel accuses the Lord of bringing them to the wilderness to die. That wasn't what he brought them there for, right?
That's right.
He's bringing them to the promised land, but instead they accuse him of bringing them to the wilderness to die. Wow. Therefore, they wanted to take matters into their own hands and go back to Egypt.
Scripture says, why is Adonai bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be like plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? They said to each other, let's choose a leader and let's go back to Egypt.
In verse 9, unfortunately, complaining leads to rebellion. The scripture says that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. The scripture clearly, that's in Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:27, something like that. Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft.
In Deuteronomy 9, verse 11, Adonai said to Moses, how long will these people treat me contemptibly? How long will they neglect to trust me? In spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them. In other words, why do they provoke and despise me? How long will it be before they believe, trust in, rely on, and cling to me? Even after all the miracles that I have done for them. In verse 27, we read, how long will this wicked community be grumbling, in parentheses, murmur against me? This is the Lord speaking still. I have heard the complaints of Bnei Israel grumbling and murmuring against me.
They were afraid. They were discouraged. They were discontented. Are we going to give them, let's give them an A for being afraid. Are we supposed to be afraid? God's not given us a spirit of fear, right? What has he given us? But he has given unto us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. I'm speaking to the sound mind today. Discouraged. Are we supposed to be discouraged? Discouraged means this, no courage. I mean, how many times did they say, be courageous? Be courageous. No. Hazak, hazak. Boy, I could preach on. I have preached on hazak, hazak. How about discontented? Are we supposed to be discontented? I mean, that's good medicine because you say yes to the children of Israel here. Remember, it's we the people. That's our family right there, and we're part of it. They were discontented with their situation. At times we get depressed, angry and bitter, right? So what do? We take it out on others. So we start, you know, we start the cat or whatever, you know, the door. So we punch the door and we do this, we do all of that. And we think that we've done okay with that. I got it out of me. The problem is that whenever things go wrong or seem to be bad, like the song says, there is somebody behind it, everything. There is somebody in charge. There is somebody that has spoken something different for us. And it's a matter of us enforcing what he said, but instead we enforce what we picked up in the baggage cars, which is all garbage. We pick up the garbage and we speak from the garbage mindset. We become, you know, WF, what is it, WEF, or the waste professionals, right? And deal with it. I mean, that's the last thing I want to do in my life would be to deal with garbage. I don't like garbage. Imagine all day long smelling like those guys do at the county places. You get out of the car and all you do is get flies all over you, which are not going to be clean, right? Those flies are not going to be clean. And the smell is like, oh my God, I'm going to have like 10 showers. If I were here all day, I have to have 20 showers to get that smell out of me. And yet that's exactly what we do. We deal with the garbage. Couldn't we adults, aren't we all adults here just about? We have some young people here. But couldn't we as adults stop having a spiritual temper tantrum?
Exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
All right. I could show you how to do it. Okay. In verses 28 and 29, the Lord said, I bet you could show me too. This is what the Lord said. What you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness.
So what did they say in verse 2? What was it in verse 2? All Ben Israel grumbled, and Moses and the whole community, we the people, said, if only we had died in Egypt. If only we had died in the wilderness. And the Lord said, ditto. Look, he doesn't even have to come up with. We came up with our own curse. We spoke it on ourselves. And to demonstrate, the Lord says, okay, just what you said. I mean, I've heard Stephen say, be careful what you pray, or be careful what you do. No, because you might get it. Well, that's good medicine. They shouldn't be anything. Oh, I'm so stupid. No. I'm so angry. No. When did anger was okay in God's economy? I'm so destitute. No. Where is destitute as part of the blessing? Didn't he come to give us life and life more abundant? Or is this a joke? Are we just having a joke? And make believe. Just come to the congregation. Let's make believe. Let's make believe religion. This is not religion. We're not here to have religion. We're here to have relationship. And he means what he said. We don't, but he does. So, if nothing else, I know that I've spoken some awful things when I get angry in my life. Is somebody taking record? Is somebody listening? I mean, is there anybody listening? You know the beauty of this in Yeshua is that what I deserve, I didn't get. The beauty is that you know, the prayer we read at the beginning. He being merciful forgives iniquity, which is self-will, and does not destroy. Frequently he turns away his anger, does not stir up all of his wrath. Why? Because you, O Lord, are good and forgiving and exceedingly kind to all who call upon you. I can cite you times when I lost it. And in my anger, I absolutely, positively cursed my own child. What a great merit badge. Oh, I don't have any kids. Okay, well, let me just give you this one. There have been times when I get so, because maybe I made a mistake, or maybe I didn't see something. You know, like, I didn't see the mailbox there, and I just scraped it, and now it's going to cost me $300 to get it fixed. So the $300 go in there, and so. Well, why did you speak it? This is really good medicine for us. We're gonna have to put a a gatekeeper on the mouth, right? What James talks about. And not allow anything that is not in the Word to come out of our mouth when it comes to us, our own selves. I am a child of God. Look, when I don't get sleep, I quote the scripture that he gives his beloved sleep. But let me tell you how I quote it. Because it's hard for me to think I'm his beloved. Oh, you didn't know that about me? I just don't think I'm worthy to be called his beloved. So I'm going to say I'm the one he hates. No. See, the Bible says I'm his beloved. But the reason that I'm his beloved is because Yeshua, the Messiah, died for me. And I can say at this very moment, because Yeshua died for me, I'm covered with the blood. Right now you don't see who I am. You just see Yeshua in me. And because Yeshua is in me, you have a beloved right here. And I'm in need of sleep. So, I get it. I don't say it like a tiki bird, right? I don't prayer. I mean, when you really seriously want to pray about something, and the enemy tells you, you're dragging 150 cars of baggage, where you've been not the best. No, 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 blah, 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 blah. And we start listening to it, saying, oh, yeah, that's right. No, it's not. No, it's not. I was changed totally in October of 1978. Not the same. Not ever going to be the same. Furthermore, let's go to verse 31. See it?
Yes. But I'm taking it in. So I want to repeat that what we say determines the course of our lives and our children's lives, and definitely affects whoever we speak things over. Something to think about. I wonder how many of our circumstances have we spoken into existence. In verse 31, the land that you have despised and rejected. Since the land equals God's promises, murmuring and complaining is equated to despising and rejecting Adonai's promises. That's what he said. Further in verse 32, our complaining causes others to complain. And the men who returned caused all the congregation, an entire nation, to grumble and complain against Moses. Want me to continue? Okay.
Finish it.
The 10 men who brought an evil report of the land died by a plague before Adonai. Though Joshua and Caleb believed Adonai, they also endured the 40-year consequence along with everyone else before receiving their inheritance. Oh my. So, not only does our complaining harm ourselves, but our families, our congregation, and beyond.
Moving along, on June 13 of 2015, my son was still here, and he was an elder in the congregation. And he preached a message called Reboot, version 10.0. Reboot, version 10.0. It was a message based on today's parashat. I'm not beyond quoting my own son. He's way younger than me, right? Quite wise, I'd say. In that message, Ian shared, his name is Ian, he shared that there were 10 displays of Adonai's power. There were 10 different displays of Adonai's power resulting in the deliverance of the children of Israel. 10 plagues, right? We call it plagues instead of the display of Adonai's power. Then he gave us 10 words of love. the Ten Commandments are, the Jewish people call it the Ten Words. It's 10 words of love. To whom? To his segula, to his beautiful bride. He gave 10 words. Then we have now here 10 rebellious leaders who stir up the people. These are the men who gave a bad report and stirred up dissension and died in the presence of Adonai. And now, I want you to hear the following. We, the people, tested Adonai 10 times. Oh, that kind of slips as you read. We, the people, tested Adonai 10 times, according to Numbers 14:22. So here's the 10 times. Exodus 14 at the Red Sea.
Exodus 15 at the waters of Meribah.
Exodus 16 when the manna was and the meal and the violation of Shabbat was exposed.
17 at the water of Rephidim.
Exodus 32 at the golden calf.
10 strange.
Leviticus 10, strange fire.
Oh, Leviticus 10, strange fire.
Numbers 11, the meat in Numbers 13. And then the 10 spies. This is what Ian wrote. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. So I'm going to quote it. Quote, the children will suffer 40 years, 1 year for every day of spying. So it wasn't a random number. They spent 40 days spying. So one for every day that wasn't received like it was supposed to. One year for every one of those. But in the end, the children will possess all their parents could have had. In fact, God says they will suffer because of their unfaithfulness. The parents are going to die off in misery because they weren't willing to trust what God had said that he would do. These 10 men who gave the bad report and stirred up the dissension died in the presence of the Lord. Ian said, we need a reboot. We need to turn off the power and turn it off and turn it on again and have what's called a reboot. We need a reboot before we get to the test of God. You see, God is faithful. He's able. He's strong. He's mighty. He's interested. He's excited about you. Do you hear what I just said? Or what he just said? He's excited about you, God is. He wants you to go to the promised land. The promised land is not a car full of baggage cars. The less baggage, the quicker we get to the promised land. By the way. So, there has to be a bottom line. We're really approaching, you know, it's kind of amazing. We're approaching the end. You need a bottom line. What is the bottom line? Let me tell you what I think the bottom line is. Do we really believe what Adonai has said? What does the word belief mean? The word belief means trust, rely, and cling. Do we really trust Adonai, rely on Adonai, and cling to Adonai? Rebbetzin wrote the rest of this. So let Rebbetzin read it. The living word.
The living word governs the affairs of Satan. It is and will be his destruction. His word always prevails over his enemies. We must believe, trust, and declare the word, rendering the fullness of its power for ourselves, our spouses, our children, and any other situation we will ever face. The written word of God is our, I want to do that part, mentor.
No, you wrote it. It's really.
Mentor, counselor, kudos, but spokesman, solid foundation, our strong tower, our hammer for dislodging evil root structures, dispatches angels, our GPS, our God's positioning system for the way, truth, and life, oil for light and gladness, the engineer's blueprint, the the doctor's medicine, the judge's rule book, the attorney's wisdom, the builder's plumb line, the musician's notes, the singer's lyrics, the king's honor, a nation's constitution, our priestly clothing for beauty and splendor.
Therefore, I'd like for her to finish, do this next paragraph. It's also from her message from a year ago.
So focus only on the promise, which is seeing from God's perspective. Joshua and Caleb received because they believed. They believed the promises that God had made. So here are our action steps. Determine to reject and refuse complaining. We don't have peace talks with the enemy. Number two, turn fears into godly desires by calling those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4, 17 to 21. Yes, believing is seeing, not the other way around. In God's kingdom, believing is seeing. Victory is in your mouth and in my mouth. Use the appeal process to share your concerns with others about a situation that you're dealing with. And then bless yourself and others instead of frustration, complaining, and cursing. A blessing is much more powerful than a prayer of petition. A blessing is a prophetic declaration that will bring results quicker than anything else.
Okay, everybody say with me, a blessing is a prophetic declaration made by a reliable prophet, you. You, me. Made by a reliable prophet. Speaking things that are not like they are. Exercising the power of our own mouth because we are made in his image and likeness. I want to ask you a question. Were the angels made in his image and likeness? I don't know. There's nothing said. So I can't tell you yes or no, okay? I don't know. You can say, well, obviously there were. Well, okay, obvious to you. It's not in the scripture, but when it comes to you, some of you are ugly. I mean, let's be honest here. Some of you are ugly. Some of you are irritable. You irritate me. I irritate you. Some of you, you know, you can say all you want to say, yet I don't care what you want to say. You are made in the image and likeness of God. That means that this right here has power. We need to use that power for good, especially for our own selves. One of the biggest things we ever have always dealt with in the ministry has been this lack of self-esteem and this lack of, I usually say steam, self-esteem. Forget the S, E-S. Well, steam's like a vapor. You know the deal is that we don't need any self anything. God's already given to us. He's already made declarations. You read the Psalms, it's loaded with declarations. You read the Proverbs, it's loaded with declarations. You do nothing else, take the Psalm of the day. Today is the 17th. Take Psalm 17 and read it and see if you don't find a blessing there. And say, oh, it's mine. I'm your beloved. It's mine. Those blessings are mine. You don't even have to come up with blessings. The Lord already gave them to you. What are you going to come up with? Well, let's see. I'm going to go through the 20 cars of baggage that I've been drawing. Actually, for me, it would be 73 for 73 years, right? The garbage can, so 73 years. I'm going to go there and find something to say. Really? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm going to find it in God's word. when you read the word this week, a couple of things. One is a Rebbetzin thing that she says all the time. Find the kiss. When you read the Bible this week, find the kiss. Because Adonai wants to give you a kiss. The Holy Spirit wants to kiss you and hug you and make you feel good. Okay, men, since you don't react to kissing or loving or nothing like that, because we men are logical, okay? Then find, instead of that, find the rhema. Find the scripture that jumps out of the page and becomes like it's speaking to me. I guarantee you that if you go into reading, if you go into the week expecting the Lord to give you a kiss or to give you a rhema, he will. I know him. Don't you know him? He's good. How good is he? Real good. How often is he good? All the time. Oh, that's just the talk. That's just baloney talk here. Rah-rah talk. Like, go Gators. Is that what it is? Or is he really good? Have you experienced his goodness?
Oh, yeah, I did. I experienced his goodness about 55 years ago.
Not this week? I think Bill did last night. You know, he talked about the brakes he didn't have in his truck. He was blessed. So, in closing, I have an epilogue. I had to find and said, oh, yeah, I have an epilogue. I had it. This is the epilogue. The epilogue is we have two choices. Okay, I said, well, the two choices are choose life or choose death, right? Well, let me translate that for us right now. We the people. We the people have two choices. We either possess the land or die in the wilderness. Which one do you want? Are we going through the wilderness? Huh? Are we going to go through the wilderness? Oh, no, you're waiting on the 747 rapture program. Are we going to go through the wilderness? Yeah. What does the book of Revelation say the Lord's going to do in the wilderness? It comforts us. And it has all these great things it says that he's going to do. I mean, that would be awesome if Adonai shows up and give us manna to eat. And I mean, he did before. Imagine eating the bread of angels. Okay, anyway. We need to repent. Once again, I bring this word. If I could have a Charlton Heston costume, I would put it on and go, repent! You know, like he did in playing John the Baptist. So he played Moses. He played this. He also played John the Baptist. I remember. Repent. It's like, man, he said that well because his voice is kind of raspy and repent. Like, yeah, man, you got the rifles. You're the spokesman for the National Rifle Association. I like you. Repent. We need to repent. If you've been murmuring and complaining, I can't say that to you. You need to say that to yourself. If you've wandered into the murmuring and complaining stage, at any point, if you're moping, if you're crying, if you're grumbling, if you're whining, and if you're muttering about, great words, right? About anything that's going on. If you're in that state, stop. Stop. Don't say nothing. Don't say a word. You say, Lord, bring me through it. I'm more than a conqueror. In Yeshua, the Messiah, I can do some things. Oh, it's baloney. You don't believe it. So you do believe it? I'm challenging you. You know, I didn't come to play games. So is it really all? Or are you just quoting the tiki birds, quoting all? I can do all things. But then you go home and I can't do nothing. What? Can we do all things? Do you believe it? Do you embrace it? Is that part of your DNA now? You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, who strengthens you. And I have one thing more to say. I don't like baloney. Bologna is a substitute for good meat in a sandwich. At least my aunt couldn't afford, well, the kids, me, in 1965, couldn't afford to buy lunch meat. So she bought bologna, big packs in the military. She said, here, I have a bologna sandwich. And I sure ate her bologna sandwiches because making her mad was not an option. It was either that or nothing. I almost sometimes eat nothing and then you get hungry and go, I think I'll eat the bologna sandwich. Guess what? I became an adult and got a degree. You don't ever find bologna in my house. Think about it. I think she likes bologna, but anyway. No. I don't like bologna. I don't like bologna. So let me tell you something. From now on, any time that this stuff rises up in you, imagine a bologna sandwich. And just say the following words. No more bologna. No more bologna. From now on, I am a child of God, like the song by the guy that you like to sing. I'm a child of God. Anyway, you finish for us?
Yeah, instead of bologna, cake batter. Just think cake batter, that's what you want. So when he would leave town, the kids and I, we would make a bowl of cake batter and sit on the couch with spoons. I'll tell you why one day. Anyway, but it's one of those things. He had to eat too much bologna. I didn't get enough cake batter. When my mom made a cake, she would scrape everything out of the bowl. It's like, when I grow up, I'm going to make cake batter and eat it all by myself. I learned to share with my kids, and they love it too now. But I did it. So cake batter is a whole lot better than bologna. So you can kind of put your life in perspective according to bologna or cake batter. So I want to share just a couple of experiences that happened to me that shows that the Lord still cares very much about this. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. And when I was really young in ministry, I don't remember if we were even together yet or not, but I was on a street ministry with a congregation. And so I was sharing. And in those days, I had absolutely no confidence in myself. And now I have confidence in God, but I have to declare it differently. You know, I can't declare the things, the person that I was. So, but in those days, oh my gosh. So after I shared that day, I was so upset and disappointed in the way that I did it. I guess I was nervous, or of course I was. But anyway, so I got so angry with myself. I went and got back on the bus, and I was so angry. I was just really fixing myself with words. And the Lord sent my pastor to me. And the Lord said to me, do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Okay. And I have so much baggage in the way of words that this message is like my life message, because God delivered me from that serious baggage that I was so dangerous to myself and everybody else because of words. Then one day I was, you know, we were already in ministry and we had left it was kind of a messianic church that we were in, but they didn't keep the feast days according to God's dates and lots of things like that. And so the Lord released us from there like 4 years after we were leaving on our own because we were going to the messianic movement. And the Lord says, no, you're not. You're staying right here until I'm ready for you to go. So we ended up 4 years. And then at the end of that 4 years, he released us then. And but then another time, we kept going back and doing things with the congregation. And I mean, they were our family. But I was upset because, you know, the black and white prophetic gifting just doesn't like fluff. And so whenever it comes to God's word, it's like, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. And if you deviate from that, then you're all bad in my eyes and in those days. And so I was praying one day. We were there. And I don't know if I was praying yet. I was sitting on the front seat. We were there for some reason. Anyway, I was inside again. I was all upset. Nobody else knew it. It's like, we're just wasting our time. These people don't want to know truth. They just don't want to know. We're wasting our time. Then the Lord spoke to me. And he said, do not call common or unclean what I have cleansed. God cares about what we say. He cares about what we say. You know, none of us are all of that in a bag of chips. So I didn't think that then, that I was something, but I thought God's word was something. And truth should be plain to everybody. But it wasn't. We all have to grow in truth. Anyway, just closing this out then, I want to ask us, you know, there were and are real consequences that we have chosen. Sometimes it's not the enemy. The enemy is allowed to bring it because of our choice of words, what we've said with our own mouth. The enemy is allowed to bring it. So there's real consequences that we have chosen. For example, the 40 years in the wilderness, they were never able to have the blessing that God desired for them personally, for their families or anything that was waiting for them. The Lord had prepared everything they needed. He was their protection. And all of heaven was guarding them and going with them. But they lost it all because of their choices, our selfishness, our fear, whatever it might be. So if Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is, his word says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he does not change. If that's true, then what does that mean for us today? We believe that the Hebrew scriptures are relevant to us today, just as the New Testament is. And so anyway, we need to think about that. What does it mean for us today? Fear and doubt is the language of hell. Just going to put it bluntly. It's the language of hell. And if we continually declare what hell declares, Scripture says we shall have what we say. So by this, we give hell full access to our hearts, our souls, our lives, our children, our future. Scripture says that God does test our hearts to see if we will trust in him. So we have to learn the language of heaven. We have to learn the language of our new family. We have to learn the language of our Father if we are to receive the blessing, favor, and destiny that our God has planned for us, we the people. Rabbi, would you like to?
You want to play the, one of those songs? I like for us to respond to the Lord. And so I'm inviting you to, if you feel led to, stand or kneel or get on your face or come forward or whatever. Let's take a few minutes. There's a song. It's cued. They only last like 5 or so minutes. It's 12:30, so we're early. We're okay. Okay, so let's respond to the Lord.